He knew that there were struggles for the young people. And he knew there would be for his young son, young preacher son, Timothy. And so he writes here, be thou an example. Be an example. That word example means to the mark that's left by a strong blow. And what he's saying to Timothy, what he's saying to you, what he's saying to us is leave your mark. He's talking about influence. And even though Paul is talking to a young man, Timothy, the lesson that he gives is applicable for all of us. Be an example of the believers in these things, in word, in manner of life, in love and spirit and faith and in purity. Those are some tremendous areas to be an example in. And the reason why it is to all of us is because influence is something that all of us have. Now, you can have good influence or you can have bad influence. But no one of us here today does not have influence. And Paul is just simply saying, let that influence be an example. And he says, don't let anyone despise you because you're young. Just because you're young doesn't mean that you can't be an example for Christ. That word despise means to have disrespect for. Now here's the thing that Paul goes on to say. To young people, to all of us, if you want respect, you have to live in a respectable way. And so that's why his admonition is he starts off by saying, be thou an example. Or better yet, the actual rendering of that is become or keep becoming. Become an example. Keep becoming an example. And so there's the challenge. Be an example. Be an example in what? Well, first of all, Paul talks about that we need to be an example in word. Wonder why he started there. About being an example in word. You know, the reason is because, well, as Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 24, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what that means? That means you are how you talk. Let me be around somebody for a little while. And them not know I'm a preacher. And let me listen to the way they talk and I can tell you what's in their heart. Because if their language is dirty and filthy and lewd, I can tell you that person's got a heart that's dirty and filthy and lewd. But if their speech, if their words are clean and good and encouraging, and well, I can tell you that's the kind of heart it's coming from. Because why? It's no big deal, no big secret. Jesus said it a long time ago. Out of your heart, the way you're thinking is the way you're talking. So no wonder he starts with the words. Be an example in how you talk. Now I know there's a lot of pressure to be like everybody else.
Talk like they do so you can be accepted, so you can be cool, so you can be with the in crowd. The only problem with that is when you get in that crowd, you get in the devil's crowd, and you get out of God's crowd. You don't have to talk like that. Do you talk like that around your parents? No. Talk like that at Green Valley? No. Talk like that at church? No. Well, if you can control it then, you can control it at all times.
You remember Peter? You remember when he denied Jesus? What did he do so that everybody in that crowd he was talking to, what did he do so that they would absolutely know that he didn't know Jesus? You remember? The third time he denied him, what did he do? Cursed and swore, I never knew him. You want somebody to think or to know that you're not a Jesus person? You talk like that. You curse, you swear, and they're going to know that you're not a Jesus. You're not a Christian. Colossians 4 verse 6 tells us that we ought to speak with grace, seasoned with salt, so that every man will know who we belong to. You know, what we say and how we say it is a big, big deal. And so when Paul started off by encouraging his young son to be an example, he started with being an example in word. And then the next thing he says is in manner of life. You know, if you're gonna talk the talk, you have to walk the walk. Paul is just saying, let your manner of life reflect that you are a Christian. How you act. You know, there's an old saying, you've heard it many times, I can't hear what you're saying for seeing what you're doing. So you're going to have to get your saying and your doing in sync. You're going to have to live like a Christian as well as talk like a Christian. And there are some people that will talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And that means wherever you are. Not just at church, not just at Green Valley, but in your home, at school, at work, wherever we may be. In Ephesians 4 and verse 1, there Paul encourages us to live the life that you have been called to live. Walk worthy, he said, of the vocation, one translation puts it. Walk worthy of the vocation wherein you have been called. Paul is saying there that Christian living is our job. That's what a vocation is. You know what our job is? Being a Christian. That's what your job is. And Paul is saying here, walk worthy of the vocation wherein you've been called. And another good passage of Scripture is Luke chapter 8. Because there Jesus talks about this sower that goes out to sow the seed. And it falls among these different kinds of ground. And where the seed falls depends on whether or not that plant comes up and lives and produces good fruit. And so I'm asking you now. I'm asking you specifically, our young people. I'm asking you, what kind of ground did the word fall on in your life? You believed it. You confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and you were baptized for the remission of your sins. You did that. And God bless your sweet little hearts for doing it. A tremendous decision. And one, if you'll live it, you will never regret. Never regret. But I'm asking you, what kind of ground did it fall on? Because there Jesus talked about how that some of the seed falls on the path, where everybody's been walking, where the crowd is, where the majority is, where is popular. And you know what happened to the seed? It got trampled. It got trampled. And it never did bring any fruit forth any fruit. Oh, son. If you don't think the devil is going to try hard to trample your faith in this coming school year, you have sorely misjudged him. And I'm going to tell you what, since you have made that decision to become a Christian, he's probably going to turn up the heat. I can guarantee you. Now you listen to the old man here. I can guarantee you he's going to put you to the test. Count on it. And you better be ready, because he'll hit you hard. And if your seed fell on the path, when it starts getting trampled, it'll just trample it out. And then he talks about some of it will fall among the rocks. And that's where it doesn't get any nourishment, it says. And so the seed takes root, and it just grows for a little while. It can get you through a camp and get you to started school, but if it's not got any moisture, if you're not watering it, then it's just going to die. It's just going to wither up and die. So again, I'm asking you, are you going to water the seed that's in your life right now? How you do that? Well, you keep strong in a youth group. You keep coming to services and studying God's word and singing great songs and being around good people. That's important. Being around good people. That keeps putting that water on that seed so that it can grow. And then Jesus talks about, here's one. He says, some of the seed fell among the thorns. And it sprang up and it looked good, but at the same time, so did the weeds and the thorns. And after a while, it starts choking it. And that's what I'm talking about. You're going to have to watch it. You're going to have to watch Satan trying to choke you, trying to get your faith.
And then he says that you need to be an example in love. Oh, what a foundation this is. I know that last week, Brother Bruce in his lesson talked about love. Christian love is a powerful thing. It's the emotional fire that you need to live favorably before God and man. Jesus said it is the one thing that will identify you as my children. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have a love one for another. So we can't emphasize enough being an example in love. And here again, if you want respect, you have to give respect. If you start putting stuff on Facebook and Twitter that downgrades your friends, what do you think is going to come back on that Facebook and Twitter about you? And if you start undermining and undercutting your friends, what can you expect to get back? And this, you know, when the Lord talks about love, He includes those that are unlovable. And there are going to be some of the kids in school that are going to single you out because you're different. You're trying to be different. And they're just going to be mean and ugly and downright hateful. And how you respond back to them is so important. Can you love those people that are just downright unlovable? And then he talks about in spirit. Now, a lot of the translations don't have this one in there. It's just lists five. But I wanted to include this one because it's important. Because that pertains to your attitude and your disposition. And if you're always down in the dumps, life can get you down. I know that. There are times when this old life can be so cruel. But if you're always down in the dumps, if you're never happy, who wants that? Who wants to have your Christianity if it keeps you down in the dumps all the time? If you can't smile and if you can't be happy because you're a Christian, and it doesn't mean you have to like what's going on sometimes in your life. But you've got something that this world doesn't have. You've got Jesus. You've got a hope. You've got a religion. You've got a foundation that they don't have. That you can find happiness and contentment even when you just lost your boyfriend, or when your girlfriend goes with another guy, or when it just seems like that you're kind of getting shut out of everything because you're different. I'm not saying it don't hurt. Man, I know it hurts. I'm just saying that you climb up above that to a different level, and you make them think, well, How they keep on smiling, how they keep on being happy when I know what just happened to them. You remember whenever Paul and Silas were in the Philippian jail? That's not really an ideal place to be singing and be happy. But that's exactly what they were doing. And when the earthquake came and all of the thing about the Philippian jailer, you know, going to kill him. You know all this story. When he came in to Paul, he fell down at his feet and he said, "Sir, what must I do?" You know what I think he was asking? How do I get what you got? Because he didn't really know anything about Jesus. Because they preached to him Jesus. He just knew that if he was in that jail, he wouldn't have been singing. And he wouldn't have been praying. And so when he came and fell down at their feet, he said, "I don't know what you got, but I want it." Now that's what this attitude of gratitude can do for you in being an example. And then he talks about being an example in faith. Oh, what can you say about faith? Faith provides the divine incentive to remain strong in one's resolve to speak, to love, to live the life of a Christian. Gotta have faith. Without it, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But the faith that God is talking about, and Paul is talking about here, the kind of faith he's talking about is a trust in God. Not to just believe that he is God and that Jesus is the Son of God, but trust him. Trust his promises. That all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Do you trust him? Do you believe that promise or don't you? Do you believe that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us? Do you believe that or don't you? You can believe it while you're in the church building here and Preacher Larry is preaching it to you. But do you believe it when your faith is put to the test? Or as Peter says, when your faith is in the fire. Do you trust God? Or do you not? You're going to find out real soon. I pray God you trust him. And then finally he says, live a pure life. And he's talking about your morals here. Keep yourself pure. I know you've probably heard the story, I know your parents have, about the Sunday school teacher that brought a bouquet of roses to her girls' class one Sunday morning. She picked out one of the roses and she said, gave it to the first girl and said, "I want you to look at it. I want you to touch it. I want you to smell it. Pass it around the room." While she was talking, the girls did that. Smelled the rose, touched it, felt it, passed it all around the room. After she'd finished talking, class bell was about to ring. She told the girl, she said, "I want you to have a rose." So she passed the bouquet around the room. There was one rose too many, so there was one rose left. Which one was it? You're right. It was the one that everybody handled, everybody touched, And she said, live a pure life. Keep yourself pure. Listen to me, girls. Keep yourself pure. When somebody goes to pick somebody for marriage, to marry, they're not going to want somebody that's been passed around. Everybody's handled, everybody's had a part of. Listen to me, guys. Now, this is not just a girl thing. It's when these girls start picking somebody to marry, they're going to want somebody that hadn't been around with everybody in the school. I know there's a lot of pressure on that today. But live a pure life. Keep yourself pure. Him and Ms. Pat been married 50 years. Long time. Long time. She kept herself pure. I was the only man in her life. Been that way for 50 years. Guys, let me tell you something. I did too. It can be done. And it can work. Keep yourself pure. Be an example in word, in manner of life, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. God bless you. God bless you and God keep you. I'm going to ask Terry if he will come this morning and lead a prayer for us, especially for our young people, for all of us. After his prayer, lesson's over, we'll stand and sing our invitation song. Terry, pray for us, please.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's a privilege to come before you this morning on behalf of our young people, on behalf of all of us, your children. Father, this world that you've created is a perfect place by your design. It's a wonderful place for us to be in by your design. But there are people in this world that would try to pervert it, try to pervert us and our young people. We pray, Father in heaven, that as our young people start a new chapter in their life with school, that you be with each and every one of them, that you'll help them to be leaders, not followers of a crowd that will lead them to a road to destruction. We do pray that you'll entrust in them to be followers of Jesus, your Son. We pray, Father in heaven, that as they face adversities and trials, that you'll help them through them, that you'll strengthen them through each one. We just pray, Father in heaven, that you help them to do the things that Larry has talked about this morning, to stay strong in your faith in every aspect of it. We pray, Father, as parents and grandparents, that you'll help us to encourage them, to be an example for them, and to be there for them when they need it. We pray all these things, Father, for all of us in this congregation. We pray, Father, that you love us and that you keep us safe. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If we can help you, will you come? Run together, we stand and sing.